Welcome to Hey, Remember the 80s. I'm Carrie.
And I'm Joe.
Please remember, we're not professional podcasters or music critics. We're just the love you cannot fake talking about 80s music.
You got that right.
Yeah. Joe, it has been so long.
It really has been a very long time. Kudos to you, Carrie. I had to take some time away from my normal home, and you did a great job in setting up the recording sessions and the outlines and making it so that there were no pauses for our listeners. So kudos to you.
Oh, thank you. Anything for you, listeners.
Yes. Welcome to you, Carrie, and welcome back to the listeners. We found some out there in Sterling, Virginia, Nashville, Tennessee, and Croydon, England. That's apt, that last one.
Yeah, it is. You're right. It took me a minute. All right, everyone, keep up with us on Facebook, facebook.com/HRT80S. And sometimes we're on Blue Sky.
I wouldn't know anything about that. We do have some great tidbits this week, Carrie. And I wanted to start off, even though I wrote it last here. As I mentioned, I was away. I was visiting my mom who lives in Santa Ana, California. I had a great time. I was out there for about 10 days. It was just really nice. And one of the nice surprises my mom had was she said, you need to go to this record store. She's like, I wandered into it. It's in Fountain Valley, California. And she's like, I went and I told the owner, my son would love your store. I'm like, okay, well, I'll go in and check it out, right?
Yes.
So it's called Dr. Free Cloud's Last Record Store Standing. It did not disappoint.
Wow.
I mean, I could have spent the entire Saturday there. I went in with my mom. She's 80. Within about 5 minutes, she was kind of like, okay, what's next? I mean, I had barely even gotten through the rare section at that point, right? Mm-hmm. They had a whole section just for rare records. I have to shout out my friend Sheila. Back to back, I saw an autographed Lita Ford record. My friend Sheila loves Lita. And right after that was an Elvira's like greatest spooky hits record that I'd never seen.
Oh my, that sounds super really cool. Interesting.
I went to the 45s, and that's about all I had time to go through. But thankfully, this record store has a whole section just for 80s new wave 45s. They were all about, they were $1.99, but I got some that I believe are worth it, including Belinda Carlisle, Summer Rain, and the B-side has a remix of Leave a Light On.
Oh my God.
I found Minor Detail, Canvas of Life, a song we've talked about many times.
Yes.
I found ABC. I found If She Knew What She Wants by Jules Shear. I found, what's this other one I wanted to talk about? Yeah, what is this? I haven't listened to it yet. Nick Lowe and Dave Edmonds sing the Everly Brothers.
Oh,
and there's four songs on this 45. It's crazy.
Wow.
It's got Poor Jenny, When Will I Be Loved, Take a Message to Mary, and Crying in the Rain. So I thought that was cute. We talk about Nick Lowe and Dave Edmonds quite a lot.
Yes. And I love the Everly Brothers. So I would love
this to is hear right up that, your alley. Yeah. And I had to do it. I've never seen it before, but it's the 45 of our theme song, Olivia Newton-John, Twist of Fate.
Yes, this is all coming back to me now. I had forgotten that you had sent me a video after your record store haul that you were showing me these 45s and you were like nonchalantly produced the Olivia Newton-John Twist of Fate 45. And I almost about died watching
it. Yeah, I put a lot of thought into our video chats that go back and forth. I like there to be some twists, some reveals.
That particular video ended because your mother's husband didn't realize that you were recording and started having a conversation with you.
So. Yeah, I left that in for you. I thought it was cute. He's like, Olivia Newton-John. He's like, yeah, she's great. What kind of music is that song? I'm like, oh, it's a little dance pop. And there's a B-side is a duet with John Travolta. And he's like, oh, that's great. It was a cute moment.
Yes, it was. That sounds like an amazing record store and some great finds.
Yeah, I was really pleased. I got some stickers. I'll send you some. And then one quick other little tidbit. I went to a relative's birthday party. She's 5 years old. It's Benny's great-great-granddaughter. Whoever did the music, it was so awesome. It was all 80s funk. I mean, every song that came on was better than the next. I already told you they played Shirelles. I didn't mean to turn you on. And I was like, Carrie would die.
I would.
And then the best part was talking about that with some other family members. And they said, well, did they play the Barquets? And in particular, did they play this song? And they put it on. And it was the song we just talked about, she talks to me with her body. And they knew every word and they were dancing the whole time. And I was like, wow.
Yeah. These are your people, Joe. It's amazing. Yeah.
Should move out there.
What does Dave think about that?
I haven't told him yet.
Well, you have another tidbit, and I'm excited to hear your report on this because this came in from a special listener.
Yes, Rhonda, thank you for the tip. She said that Mark Goodman has a new podcast out. It's called Sound Up. He talks with someone named Alan, but not Alan Hunter. It's some other Alan. I believe his name is Alan Light. And the episode she tipped us off to talked about the 80s cruise. They brought out Lori Majewski, who you probably know from Sirius, right?
Yep. She's on First Wave.
She does
Wave.
A lot yeah. on which station? First Wave. First okay. Wave, she yeah. does some other stuff too, but she was on the 80s cruise and they talked about their favorite moments. She mentioned that Air Supply blew the roof off the place.
Oh, wow.
Do cruises have roofs?
Well, they must have been on one of the lower decks.
So she said Joe would be particularly interested. So I thought, well, I got to see what it is, right? Mm-hmm. I believed it to be about Air Supply because they brought Sebastian Bach, formerly of Skid Row, who's a huge Air Supply fan.
Okay.
And he came out and sang All Out of Love, killed it. He was nearly in tears. It meant so much to him. And I thought that was so cute.
That is amazing. Okay.
But then I thought maybe she's telling me because of this other story that Lori Majewski said. She got to introduce Midnight Star on the cruise.
Oh, wow.
And they brought her backstage. They're like, hey, you're introducing us. That's great. By the way, please don't confuse us with Atlantic Star when you talk about us. And I thought, I'm pretty sure I've confused them many times. Maybe that's what Rhonda was talking about. But everything they talked about was great. Uh-huh. And you should listen to it. Everyone, not just you, Carrie, everyone.
Okay, I will check it out. I was curious to hear your report because I didn't get a chance to hear it. And we've had some discussions about the 80s cruise. So,
well, here's a news alert on that. It's 80% booked right now.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, we need to have a serious discussion about it yes. then. Joe, is that
That's all the tidbit. I know okay. I only have like 0.3 tidbits every episode, but I had a few this time.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you filled it up because I didn't have any. I mean, there have been so many things that have happened since the last time we recorded, I couldn't even keep up.
We wouldn't know where to start. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Well, we are going to talk this week about the British Top 30 show, which is a set of 6 vinyl records I found in the bins at my local record store. And the cue sheet was included, but I didn't even look at it because I wanted to be surprised. We've done some of these vinyl countdown shows before, and the fun part is just hearing it for the first
surprise.
Time.
Absolutely, yes.
So looking at the label, it's called the British Top 30 Show for broadcast on or before June 16th, 1985. And the only clue to its origin is a copyright Radio Luxembourg.
Broadcasting on 208 meters in the medium wave, 1440 kilohertz AM, with a power of 1.3 million watts. This is the English service of Radio Luxembourg. Our programs commence in just a moment, and they'll continue until 3 a.m. in the United Kingdom. We hope you'll stay with us, because Radio Luxembourg rocks Great Britain. Great Britain. Great Britain. Great Britain.
The best sound ever heard.
So I went to try and find out what that's all about, and basically, some dude in Luxembourg set up a huge transmitter on the top of his home that could broadcast all the way to the UK, and then the country of Luxembourg used it to play English language programming and try to break the monopoly the BBC had on the British airwaves. This continued well into the 1990s. And during the 80s, one of its slogans was Planet Earth's Biggest Commercial Radio Station. I mean, okay. I had never heard about it before, but maybe one of our European correspondents can tell us more.
That's really awesome. Now, I've never seen the movie Pump Up the Volume, but I imagine it's based on this guy.
It might as well been, I guess. Pump Up the Volume is another one we have to watch. I haven't seen it in
I've
so
never
long.
Seen Ugh. It. Never, ever.
I think yeah. it's worth watching.
Okay.
Okay, so the presenter for this show is a guy I thought was called Davey, but I swear every time he said his last name, I heard something different. At first, I thought it was sweet, but I kept changing my mind as I listened. And it wasn't until I went back for the second time.
So welcome to this week's British Top 30 show. I'm Dave Eastwood, and over the next 3 hours on this station, I'll be bringing you the best of British.
That I realized he was saying Dave Eastwood.
I didn't get that from that.
Yeah, I know. You listen to it once and you're like, what? Well, anyways, he starts off by talking about how these are the songs on the British charts that won't be appearing in the US for months to come. And while that was certainly true earlier in the 80s, I don't know exactly how true it was at this time. And the intro is particularly ironic because he starts off the countdown by playing last week's number one, that obscure song, View to a Kill by Duran Duran. And it was sitting at number 12 on the Hot 100 the same week. And as the show started, I still didn't know if it was going off the UK official singles chart or something else, but I'll tell you more about that after we talk about the first song.
Okay, intriguing. Well, the first proper song of the countdown, coming in at number 30, really is a song we were not hearing on US stations, and it does have a connection to Duran Duran. The song is The Icing on the Cake by Stephen 10-10 Duffy. Stephen met a guy named John Taylor when they were at university, and they formed a trio with a bloke named Nick Rhodes. Carrie, are you going to be putting British slang all through the outline this week?
I don't know. I think that might be the only time.
Well, Duffy was originally on vocals and bass, and then he moved to drums, but he only lasted with the band for about a year. And after only their fourth official gig, he left the band. He played with a couple other bands before signing a solo deal in 1984. The last of these was 10-10, and when he went solo, he added that to his name to build on the recognition. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
His single Kiss Kiss hit the top 10 in the UK, and The Icing on the Cake was the follow-up. On the UK official chart, the song would peak at number 14. Duffy would have a couple more minor UK hits, but he's had a very colorful career since. In 1999, he found an old tape of early Duran Duran demos, and he and Nick Rhodes re-recorded that music using the same instrumentation with modern-day recording techniques. That album was released as The Devils, and then in 2005, Duffy co-wrote and co-produced an album with UK superstar Robbie Williams, who, I don't know if I need to remind you, Carrie, he's on my number one celebrity hall pass list.
I was going to ask you if you liked Robbie Williams. We've never really talked
about him.
That's
putting it lightly.
Oh my gosh. Isn't it crazy that we can still learn new things about each other after, what, 25 plus years of friendship, it seems like at this point?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, what did you think of The Icing on the Cake?
Let me just say this.
Okay.
My initial notes for the song were kind of a thin voice.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I see that he was on vocals on these bands and then kicked off to drums, it kind of makes sense, right?
I found it interesting that I think the best part about the song is when the female backing vocalists are singing. The layer of him and the female vocalists is good, but I agree that he doesn't carry it off so well himself. Although I did think the song was very sweet. I enjoyed the lyrics and like the sentiment behind it. It's kind of a very sweet love song talking about someone who's, you know, the icing on the cake and all that.
I thought that was a pun. The icing was sweet.
I liked it.
Oh, sorry. That was a bad joke then. Because you said it was sweet, but the song's called The Icing on the Cake.
Yes, I get it. But are you saying you didn't think it was sweet at all?
I was not moved by this song.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I liked it.
I'm sorry.
I liked it.
I'm glad he found a spot in the studio. You know, sounds like he went on to do great things behind the boards.
Mm-hmm.
where he belonged.
It is kind of funny that literally whenever you hear anyone talk about him, they always have to mention that he was the first lead singer for Duran Duran. But he literally played 4 gigs with them. I mean, that's nuts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, here's the kind of weird anecdote that they give you on this countdown. After the song is over, Davey tells us that Duffy bought a flat in London without looking out the windows, so he didn't know there were a ton of trains running by. But allegedly, Duffy says this is okay because he thinks it's funky. I didn't know what the point of that was. It was very bizarre.
See, now I think he has problems with his hearing, which would explain the vocals.
Hey, there you go. Okay, so back to what chart this countdown is using. I knew for sure it was not the UK official chart, because for the week ending June 15th, 1985, the icing on the cake was sitting at its peak of 14 over there. So I dug deeper, and apparently starting in the early 70s, Radio Luxembourg started creating its own chart, which was supposed to predict the upcoming week's biggest hits. And this was specifically intended to be a forward-looking chart that would one-up the publication of the official chart for the week. Then I found a comment on an online forum, these are the depths that I go for you listeners, that said the Radio Luxembourg chart was only a top 20, and the one broadcast as the top 30 was taken from the New Record Business magazine. But then, when I went to our good old worldradiohistory.com to explore, I found out that magazine was absorbed into a publication called Music Week in 1983. And when I looked at Music Week, the only chart they had included in this week's issue was the official chart. So who knows where or how this chart was created, but we're just gonna go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And before we get back into the music, let's take a quick commercial break.
Don't give me soda, no, no, no. Don't give me beer.
All we want is brand new cheer.
Give me some fruit, give me some wine, give me some days, give me sunshine.
Give me the sun, give me the fun.
Give me new Sun Country wine cooler.
Joe, do you remember Sun Country wine coolers?
I don't remember seeing them in the wild in the 80s, but I do need to tell you, since you put the clip of the video in the outline, I did see this commercial when I watched a block of old MTV that was on the archive.
I was trying to go find the commercial on YouTube so I could clip the audio for y'all, and found a commercial with Grace Jones, which I don't even understand. She's like wearing a mascot costume.
Yeah, then she takes it off at the end, and she's wearing sunglasses that lenses light up, or flashlights.
It was insane. There was no rhyme or reason to it. When I first heard it, I was like, Sun Country wine coolers. I was like, I don't remember that at all. But then the more I listened to it, the more I felt like I definitely did remember. It was tickling something in my brain, the song or the jingle that you want to call it. It was crazy.
From what I understood about the commercials that were on TV, you had to guess who was under it the first time you saw it. And then they take off their mask, right?
Okay.
So there's Grace Jones, and others that were also a part of it were Vincent Price,
yes,
Charo, and the Four Tops.
Okay. I did see all of those listed on YouTube, but I didn't watch them. So I didn't see them in a mask and then taking it off.
It's giving Masked Singer. You know what I mean?
That's where Masked Singer came from. That is legend.
And back to the countdown with another obscure to us / US track at number 29. It's Thinking About Your Love by Skipworth and Turner. Rodney is Skipworth and Phil is Turner. They're an American duo who actually met when they were lead singers of rival local bands in Syracuse. They decided to join forces and signed a record deal in 1985. I think that would make a good movie, Carrie.
Yeah, I mean, it actually was pretty interesting to read about.
And I guess this part would take place in Act 2 of the movie. Thinking About Your Love was a song that Skipworth had originally sung with his previous group. I bet that caused tension.
Yeah, exactly.
Girl, I'm thinking about your love. Never knew it could be so good. Thinking of your tender.
This was their debut single, and it went all the way to number 10 on the Billboard R&B chart, and it topped the U.S. dance chart. On the UK official chart, it topped out at number 24. The duo only had a couple more singles chart and then broke up in the early 90s after only releasing two albums. Carrie, I gotta ask you, number 10 R&B and number 1 dance, have you ever heard of this song or heard it?
No.
How is this happening to us this late in the game?
I don't know. It is crazy the amount of non-Hot 100 hits we do not know about that we've never heard. That's what Charlie's 80s Attic is for, not to toot our own horns. But honestly, I mean, this is the kind of song that you're only going to hear on Charlie's 80s Attic. And that's what we're here for, is to give you these songs that no one else is playing.
You know, not to toot again, no more tooting, but you're right. And still, I hear songs I've never heard before on Charlie's 80s Attic, even today, you know?
I know. It is wild.
It's a service that Charlie provides, you know?
I know we didn't grow up in the UK, but even still, it's just kind of strange to not know some of this music.
So I guess we should say what we thought of it then.
You know what I was struck the most by, and it has really nothing to do with the song itself. It was so similar to Icing on the Cake.
Oh, are you serious?
I just felt like it had the same exact vibe. And like, I couldn't make an independent decision about it because it just sounded so much like a song I just heard. I'm going to listen to it again in a couple weeks, independent, and kind of see how I feel.
Well, let me ask you if you want to do this. Listen to it and think about what Stevie Wonder song it sounds like. The beginning is identical to Do I Do by Stevie Wonder. I said, oh, Carrie's put on Stevie Wonder on this. Let me listen to it real quick. We got to do the intro, too. I was freaked out.
Yeah.
Because I haven't said this yet, but I don't think it's a bad song. I think it's good. I think it's catchy. I think they did a great job. I'm interested to hear more from them and more about them. I like this a lot more than Icing on the Cake.
Okay.
But I'm not really a sweets person, you know?
Okay. Well, next up was a highlight of a song that's sitting just outside the top 30 by a nice bloke that comes direct from Dave Eastwood named Jim Diamond. And we talked about him way back in episode 104. He was the lead singer of PhD before going solo. And he had a number one in Australia and the UK in early 1985 with I Should Have Known Better. His new single, Remember I Love You, only reached 42 on the UK official chart. I was born to be your fool, to stop your heart from breaking, you know, you got my hand to hold on to when they don't understand. For I love you, that will always be true. And Jim was actually having an insane 1985 up to this point. As I just mentioned, he went to number one solo, and he also had just reached number one again in early June as part of The Crowd. This was a charity supergroup that was formed to record a single to raise money to benefit victims of a stadium fire on May 11th, 1985, during a soccer game in Bradford, West Yorkshire, England. A lit cigarette ignited trash that had not been cleared from below the seats for some time, and the fire swept through the old stadium. When all was said and done, 56 people had died. The crowd included other famous musicians like Kiki D, Rick Wakeman of Yes, and John Entwistle of The Who. Their cover of the show tune, You'll Never Walk Alone, spent 2 weeks at number one. Through the rain, walk on, through the rain, hold your dreams. to me how many different tragedies there were in the UK.
I've never heard of this.
I've never heard of this either, yeah. But I've heard of another soccer tragedy about people getting like trampled at a stadium. And then there's that one later in the decade where there was a ferry crash, right?
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Remember I Love You first.
Okay. It sucks.
It's a little bland. I will say bland. It's not offensive. It's bland.
Yeah.
I wanted to know. I watched the video, the clip that you put up on YouTube, and I thought this had to be a number one somewhere. Every comment on there was in Spanish.
Oh, really?
Every single comment. Okay. And I'm like, where did this hit the top 10? You know what I mean?
You're right. It's not offensive, but it's not good either. No, thank you. If I'm remembering correctly, the song that we covered in episode 104 was...
Was it Little Susie's on the Up?
No. I mean, that's the PhD song, but we did cover his song.
Oh, one of his solo better. Ones? Yeah.
And that was the same deal. That was bad news. Mm-hmm. That was bad news, mm-hmm. too.
Well, speaking of bad news, this charity single. Uh-huh. First of all, when you think of the tragedy that inspired this, I feel like naming your supergroup The Crowd is not a good name.
I didn't even think of that.
I mean, you're I think of a crowd, right. And I think it's there's too many people. This is too much. Someone should have done something about that. And Carrie, listen. And listeners, listen. This is a tragedy. Yes, someone should have made a song to benefit the victims. My heart really goes out to them. When I read about this, I thought, this is very sad. Mm-hmm. There's other songs to raise awareness from the 80s, mm-hmm. to make a statement or to raise funds or whatever the case is. And they're not so downtrodden.
Yeah.
Think about We Are the World. Mm-hmm. Do They Know It's Christmas? And gosh, even to think about me saying something positive about Sun City, there's something there to help lift the spirits as well.
Yes. It's so maudlin. I agree. I mean, like you don't want to do like, I don't know, a dance pop song to make light of this, but this is too much. It's too much. And the people that were singing, like, they didn't sound like they even really felt it. It's very obvious that it was thrown together. Just like you said, it obviously was thrown together because they were very quickly trying to get funds together.
And help. Yes, and help, which is the most important thing, and good for them for that. Yeah. Well, we're only up to number 28, but here's where we hit a string of songs that definitely crossed over to the Hot 100. Songs like Would I Lie to You by The Eurythmics and Obsession by Animotion. And at number 24, it's Per Danny, a charming and thoughtful version of Walk Like a Man by Divine. We talked about Divine and his high energy hit You Think You're a Man back in episode 111. If you've heard one Divine song, you've kind of heard them all. So we're going to talk about You Too coming in at number 21 with The Unforgettable Fire. It's the title track from their fourth album. The music was originally written by The Edge a couple years earlier, and he envisioned it as part of a film soundtrack. Later, when Bono heard it, he added lyrics that were inspired by an exhibition about the victims of World War II atomic bombs at the Peace Museum in Chicago. Because of course he did.
This episode is a real bummer.
It failed to chart in the U.S., but it made it to number 6 on the U.K. official chart, and it was also the band's first number 1 in Ireland.
The thing that really struck me about this song is that it doesn't sound like a whole lot of other U2 songs.
U2 songs? Yeah. Yes. Let me say this. I'll say it quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
When it came on, I hear a guitar riff. I hear a guitar playing that sounds like them. But the drum beat and the beat that goes throughout the entire song is like, I want to get on the dance floor and I want to feel this. I want to dance this out. And I don't think I've ever said that about any U2 song in my life.
I really liked it. I found it really endearing that they were able to do this type of song. I mean, on the same album as Pride in the Name of Love, which was the big single from that album. And I thought that that was very interesting because I think they should do this more.
They should have, yes. I don't know if you're listening to their new stuff. I mean, I talk about songs that I want to add to a playlist or I'm interested in hearing again. But from the first listen, I was like, this is the song for me from them.
Yeah. And it's crazy that this one did not hit in the U.S.
Yeah, this is the first time I've heard it was this week.
And it's great. I mean, again, it's so fun to like discover a song by U2 that you are not familiar with at all.
And who would really, have guessed, right?
Really changes your perspective. Okay, well, it's time for some star facts about the band at number 18 with their hit Walking on Sunshine.
Star facts about Katrina and the Waves. Well, they're a British-based four-piece band, two Britishers and two Americans. The British pair are Alex Cooper, the drummer, and guitarist Kimberly Rue. They went to the famous Cambridge University here in Britain. Alex is described as rather posh, and Kimberly, who writes the material for the band, is described as a bit of an eccentric. Bass player Vince De La Cruz and Katrina Leskinich arrived in Britain with their parents when both their fathers were posted here with the United States Air Force.
Star facts.
And I gotta tell you that this show is really weird because sometimes there's absolutely no intro by Dave or any other marker that it's come back from commercial. They just start playing the next song, and a couple times I thought it was another commercial until the song had been playing for quite some time, like Kim Wilde's Rage to Love at number 17.
That's another record I saw at Dr. Free Club.
Oh my God.
No, it was a new release of Kim Wilde's. All of her hits. It was like four discs on neon pink. It was $79.99, so I didn't get it. But I was like, this has everything we've ever talked about from her and more.
She has a remix album coming out on Record Store Day, right? That was one of the ones that we talked about. What if that was like...
This can't... No, it couldn't be. No. Yeah, let's erase this.
You don't think Dr.
Trouble.
Dr. Feelgood? What is it again?
I know. This is why I had to get the stickers out of the cupboard. Dr. Free Clouds. Last Record Store Standing. They would not do this. They would not violate Record Store Day laws because then you don't get to buy anymore.
Okay. All right. Well, next up, it's another Just Outside track, which comes from a live EP by Gary Numan. Our Friends Electric was originally recorded by Gary's band Tubeway Army in 1979, and it ended up being the last single released by that group. This live version was recorded at the Hammersmith Odeon in London in December 1984. The original had topped the chart in the UK, and Gary says the lyrics came from his idea of what London would be like in 30 years' time. He imagined that friends that were robots that looked like humans would be able to come to your door to provide you services. The one he's singing about in this song is a prostitute, so he was tickled that he had a number one single about a robot prostitute and no one knew.
I don't think he quite got it right, but I bet he loved that movie AI.
Yeah. Did you get that from listening to the song, Joe, that it was about a robot prostitute?
Oh, yeah, certainly, for sure. No.
I don't know if I just got a bad rip on YouTube or what, but I could hardly hear the lyrics.
Yeah, I know.
It was weird. I mean, I like the song. I'm into the Tubeway Army stuff, the early stuff and Gary Numan's early stuff, but it was hard to listen to this one. I was trying to hear the lyrics and try to follow along with the story of the robot prostitute, but it was difficult.
This was not a song for me, and I apologize to anyone who likes him and this song. I understand that it's, you know, it's a big song.
Yeah.
It's influential. It's heavily cited. I'll give it another try. I don't know if the live version is what I wanted.
Yeah, this is not it. Well, that takes us through the first half of the show, but we're going to have to return to it later because we have to leave time for a quiz.
Oh, blimey.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, Carrie, yes. The joke's on you because not only am I prepared for this quiz, mm-hmm. but I've already taken it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I need to describe what's happening, but in one of the previous quizzes, your husband, Nick, recorded the questions and you gave your answers to him. And then I got to answer and then hear your answers. So we're doing the reverse.
Yes.
And my husband, Dave, asked me the questions and we're going to play that.
Yes. And this is going to be the first time that we've ever heard David on the podcast, right?
Yeah. And he was nervous.
Oh my gosh. This is amazing.
It's going to be hard.
Yeah. When you guys are hearing this voice, I want you to know this is truly the unsung hero of the podcast. David does all the editing. He doesn't get any of the glory. Joe and I just sit back and chat, and then he has to deal with it. So this is David. I'm so excited that we're going to hear him, and I am going to play this first clip here.
I'm here in my basement with my husband, Dave. Producer Dave, he's going to read me the questions, and he's going to say hello.
Hello.
Perfect.
Nick, Carrie's husband, sent me the questions for this week's quiz.
So she's not seen them.
Okay, Has not seen them. Cover of Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Shroud of Secrecy. So I'm going to be reading you questions, and then Carrie, she will have the same questions read to her separately.
Okay, got it. Okay. All right, Carrie, the first question. Sorry to do all that intro, and then I have to tell you the first one, because it's a picture question. Mm-hmm. Are you ready? Are you on the outline?
I am.
Question number one. Who is this band?
Oh, my goodness. This is tough. Wow. Did you get this one right?
Oh, do you want to know, or should I tell you?
I do want to know, yeah.
I got this one wrong.
Okay. I think this might be White Lion.
Carrie, you're in the right continent.
Oh, boy. I got to listen to A1.
I mean, I feel like I've never seen these people in my life. I'm going to just guess and say Kix.
How do you spell that?
K-I-X.
That is not correct.
What if I had said K-I-C-K-S?
That's also incorrect.
Well, then what did you ask me for?
Well, I don't know. I've never heard of that band. The correct answer is Europe.
Oh, that was one of the names that flashed in my mind.
Then why didn't you say that?
One of.
I love how he made you spell the word.
So rude, wrong, right?
All right.
Yeah. Okay. We're up to question two, and this is Dave. Dave, take it away.
Question number two. What MTV show's original hosts were James Roberts, Andre Brown, and Fred Brathwaite?
Oh, boy. Oh, I gotta say, yo, MTV Raps.
Well, click A2. I'm gonna guess yo, MTV Raps.
That is correct.
Yes.
Woo!
And apologies if I mispronounce any of the names. There were some, like, weird symbols here, so I wasn't all in text.
I don't know if you're new here, but we say any name any which way.
Very true.
Oh, hang on. I need to take score. So you've got one so far. Okay. Yeah. I forgot. You usually do this.
I know.
Let's go to question three, not A3.
So number three, what name is missing? Jane Wiedlin, Charlotte Caffey, Belinda Carlisle, Kathy Valentine.
Oh, man. This is so easy. Gina Schock.
Gina Schock.
Correct. That was a gimme, wasn't it?
You knew it?
Well.
Carrie will know it, of course. She read the book.
We'll see.
My favorite part was doing this quiz, answering that, and then listening to your Dare to be Different top females of modern rock, and then at number one, you named them all.
Of course I did.
Because you put Go-Go's at number one, and I'm like, I didn't even need to hear that to know you were going to get it, so... But it was just icing on the cake.
She was our favorite. When we saw that Go-Go's documentary, we both were like, oh my God, we love Gina Schock now.
Yeah, she was great. Okay, we're up to Q4.
Question number four. The video for this song features the lead singer stalking model Susan Gallagher by surprising her as a coat hanger, her lipstick, and her alarm clock, among other things. What's the video?
The coat hanger really scared me, but then when he said lipstick, I was like, okay, we're talking about You Might Think by the Cars.
You Might Think by the Cars.
That is correct.
Woo-woo!
Ding, ding, ding.
All right.
question five is a clip, so you're going to have to click Q5 and then Q5 clip if you need it.
This is an audio question. Name the 80s band sampled by PM Dawn in the 1991 song Here.
Gosh. I mean, that's True by Spandau Ballet, right?
Click A5. Spandau Ballet.
That is correct. I don't think you even needed the clip.
I'm a little too far behind in points to be any sort of cocky right now. Question six, click it.
So question number six. MTV in the early 80s was well known for its over-the-top contests. One of the more famous ones involved a prize that had to be changed because it was too close to a toxic waste dump. The eventual winner painted the prize within 2 days of receiving the award. What song inspired this contest?
I had no clue up until they said the person painted it within 2 days. So I think this was that Pink Houses contest that they had.
Click A6. Pink Houses.
What's that all about?
Sorry, John Mellencamp. He was like, win a pink house. And then the one they had picked was too close to a toxic waste dump.
Oh, really?
So they had changed it. And then I guess the person was like, I don't want a pink house.
Oh, interesting.
You're doing great. Carrie, question seven. What is the title of the song in this video? There's no sound. The audio has been deliberately removed.
Oh, my goodness. Whoa. What is the question again?
What is this song?
I think it's Eye of the Tiger, and I don't know why I think that, only because this gentleman in the beret is really tickling something in my memory. But there's like nothing else distinguishing about this video so far. It's just a bunch of weirdos walking down the street.
Well, you'll have to click the answer.
Okay.
There's 54 seconds of this going on. Oh. I mean, we know this guy. We just talked about his shiny face. Remember?
I think we call it a smooth face.
You said smooth face, yeah. I'm going to wait. I mean, I have a guess based on that. Rising up. Da, 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 da. Let's just say Eye of the Tiger.
That is correct.
Okay. Woo! Why did I know that? That's so crazy.
You know why? Because of some random guy.
Oh, that must be. It must be, yeah.
Click number eight for a real gimme.
This song and video featured British researcher and media personality Magnus Pike chasing the beautiful Miss Sakamoto.
That's She Blinded Me with Science.
She Blinded Me with Science.
Science!
I swear we had this question already.
Sorry.
Question nine is a photo clue.
Okay.
This is a recent photo of what band from the 80s?
Whoa, okay. Well, I feel like that's got to be Human League.
It is, and now that I'm seeing it up close, the band's logo is in the background.
Yeah, you're right.
They tried to airbrush it out, but I see that shit.
I do too. 100% honest, as soon as I saw the blonde lady and the brown-haired lady, I was like, that's got to be Human League.
No, I thought it was Pitbull and my Aunt Petey on the right there.
Is that what you said for your answer? Let's hear.
I mean, I would guess Human League.
That is correct.
He looks young.
Regardless, he does look young.
Yes. What is his name again? I forget.
Philip Oakey?
Yeah, he's keeping it right and tight. But they look great too. That's Joanne Catherall and Susan. I just talked about them on my countdown too. Susan Sully? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry to those ladies.
It's fine. Question 10 for you. Go.
Next question. A motorcycle crashing through a stained glass window. A ring being pushed forcefully onto a woman's finger. Name that video.
Oh my gosh. I have to tell you that ring being pushed onto a woman's finger and then she starts bleeding.
Scared you?
Yeah. It's one of the traumatic moments of my childhood in the video White Wedding by Billy Idol.
White Wedding.
That would be correct.
Well, you know, our childhood trauma is now our gain because we both got this, right? It's like the diamond coming from the coal.
That's true. That is very true. All right. Question 11.
Here's another audio question. This one-minute excerpt is from the 1970s funk song Found a Child by Ballin' Jack. A sample from this excerpt was the instrumental bass for one of the most popular rap songs of the 1980s. In what song was this sample used?
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, it took about 40 seconds to get to the part that was actually used. Yeah. And that's Bust a Move. So answer 11.
So glad I waited. That was sampled in Bust a Move by Young MC.
Yeah, it took a minute to get there.
Yeah. Do you want to hear where we're at?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Point-wise? Yeah, please.
So far, you and I have got the same questions right and wrong.
Oh, goodness.
I missed number one. I got everything up to then. I got this one wrong.
Oh, you got this one wrong. Okay. So if I get it, I gain a point on you.
Final question, Joseph Christopher. Good job so far.
Thank you.
This MTV VJ was married to Dutch singer Patricia Pay or Pay.
How do you spell it?
P-A-A-Y.
Okay.
One of the lead vocalists of the horrific Stars on 45 medley.
Oh my God. Well, I certainly don't know this, so I'm going to have to take a guess. But this MTV VJ, I just listened to it. I can't remember if he said that Stars on 45 was a Dutch group, but Adam Curry was Dutch, I believe. So I'm going to say Adam Curry.
I'm going to just guess and say JJ.
JJ what?
Jackson.
Nope, that'd be incorrect.
Well, why'd you make me say the last name?
Because remember last time you couldn't remember.
Who was it?
It'd be Adam Curry.
Oh, okay.
Woo!
Carrie, we've read the same books. This doesn't make any sense to me.
I really had not. I mean, I didn't know that because I knew it. I only knew that Adam Curry was Dutch. All right, so what were the final scores there, Joe?
You got 11 and I got 10.
I have 4 points on you. I have 54. You have 50. When we return next time, it will be 12 championship questions. And as we know, the championship questions are usually more difficult. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens, Joe.
I am normally one to throw in the towel, but you're right. No. They're harder. You just never know. I'm not giving up.
Yeah, no, of course you're not. I mean, remember, you beat me last time. You know, this is not a foregone conclusion. I've got a 4-point jump on you, but you never know. You never know.
The power of Pitbull compels me.
And speaking of next time, okay, so next week we're going to be off. We're taking a break.
Yeah.
And why are we taking a break, Joe?
You're busy gallivanting all over the world.
That is not true at all. We're taking a break because David and Joe are celebrating their 10th anniversary, and that's wonderful. I'm so happy.
10th wedding anniversary.
Yes, 10th wedding anniversary. But we are going to be back in 2 weeks with episode 250, which will include the culmination of that quiz with a very special quiz master.
Special guest, yes.
Yes, and other great things, which I haven't determined yet. But I have 2 whole weeks to figure it out. So there you go, folks.
Time, sweet time.
Yep. Joe, you got to take us out.
Folks, wouldn't it be great to look as good as Philip Oakey when you're 60?
For real?
Those things can happen. You just have to believe in them. Good things await all of us with a positive attitude. Thanks for listening. Hope everyone's doing great. We appreciate you so much. You don't even know, really. Mm-hmm. Hope your people are being kind to you and you're being kind to others. Let's keep it going. Someone's not nice to you. You say, you know what you say? You go up to them and you say, better be good to me.
Better be good to me.
And you can tell them,
Joe and Carrie sent you.
No, I was going to say you can tell them that I've forgotten her name, the songwriter.
What?
Holly Knight. Holly Knight said, "You got to be good to me."
Okay.
She's in the Songwriters Hall of Fame, yes. So.
Thanks for listening, yeah. Everyone.
Well, yeah.
Bye. Bye.